Hello and welcome to another episode of the Logistics Podcast. As you can hear, we do it in English again, and we're talking with a very special guest today, and I'm very happy to introduce and to welcome you this evening. Welcome, Jakob.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Cool. Thank you very much for taking time for our podcast episode. Most people know Jakob with the afternamme Hatteland from the auto store company. And so we got a little connect over the Logistics Hall of Fame. So maybe you can do a little short intro about yourself to introduce yourself to the audience, and then we are get going into the topic of today.
Oh, I'm not so good in that, but I was born here in Nedre Vats, which is a small place in the end of one of the Norwegian fjords. And my father and his father again had a grocery store, and I was basically born in the store. So that was, yeah, to sell and to buy and to sell was basically what I was raised to do. So, you know, when you grow up and you have some few hobbies, you know, I had electronics and a little bit of chemistry, that means fireworks. I was always out of money. I saw that I could get components cheaper in other places in Europe. And then I started to sell and import and sell in Norway. And this grew. So, yeah. Basically, we became a component distributor, and yeah, we grew in all the Nordic and most of the Baltic countries. And I sold it in 2000 to Arrow Components in the US. And then we were the largest component distributor in the Nordic, with a turnover of 1.5 billion NOK. The NOK is not value anymore, but at that time it was value a little bit more. So, but before that, we had started with AutoStore, I think about 4 years before. I sold it in 2000. I think we started with AutoStore about 96. And the reason was that we was competing with the big guys in the component distribution, and it was quite tough, and we needed to have a better logistics than them, yeah, to be able to grow. And that means not only better, but also cheaper. And therefore, we had to automize the different things. It started with the RAM base, which is our main product today, ERP system. And then we had too little space because we was growing a lot, but we didn't earn enough money to all the time build new warehouses and so on. So we needed to find a solution. And therefore, basically, it was Ingvar Rognaland's, my first employee, which came up with the idea.
And the idea grew, and today we looked after it. It's like over 1,000 installations in over 50 countries that use the AutoStore concept, where small cars move around the grid, and the grid is used to get access to boxes, and in the boxes you can store everything that fits in, and it is a highly automated solution to allow efficient logistics, so as we understand it.
Yes, I think it is the best solution in the market for sure. No, it doesn't fit all kind of sizes. I mean, today it is quite limited to boxes, and the items have to fit in the boxes in the AutoStore. But there is no limits for AutoStore. Basically, you could use containers. The idea is that you get a lot of benefits. You don't need to run around and pick goods. The goods comes to you. You use less space. And also you decrease the numbers of errors. Really, it doesn't have much negative impact. Also, it is a very environment-friendly system. Normally, if you have normal lighting above in your warehouse, basically the robots doesn't use more power than the light. And they don't need any light to work. So, yeah.
So they run in the dark. So, yeah. You told us that you were born in Norway, the huge country characterized by the sea, the shore, the mountains, the valleys. I've been to Norway and I got the impression that public institutions are sometimes very, very far away. So I suppose that people in Norway are used to solve their problems on their own. At least they try. Was this one reason, was the environment one reason why you got to invent AutoStore, or does it not have to do anything with Norway? Could it happen in any other place as well?
Yeah, maybe this is one of the reasons, but I think also if you look upon Norway, you know, now I am saying thing maybe not so politically correct, but if you see on the innovations and the industry, it is basically in the west coast of Norway. So we joked and say we are making the money and the people in the east in Oslo and so on, they are using it. You have all the lawyers and the politicians. Yeah.
Okay, so the west of Norway is quite known for being inventive, as you can say.
Yeah, I think that it is because of the history. We have had no hierarchy in the west of Norway. Basically, it was the king and the farmer. In the east, there was a lot of in-betweens. So here you have to do your things yourself. So you have to use a little bit of your abilities.
And that's part of the culture of your companies as well, I suppose. So
I hope so. But of course, I have companies in many countries, and I see there is a lot of culture difference between Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Finland, for example. But when you are in a small place, you know, it would either work very well because you have to work together, or it doesn't work at all. So if you are in a city, you can much more easier go find a new job or whatever. You are in a small place, you get much more loyalty, and they work and they do their really best. They don't, in big companies, they all tend to think more on their pension and their future than if you are just sitting and you have to survive and you go for what you are trying to do.
Okay, so you invented the electronic components you mentioned for Norway. You were sourcing it somewhere and distributing
it. I didn't invent anything. I was purchasing them. And during this period of time, it started just for importing from different sources. But then I got I became a distributor for Philips components, from Siemens, from Texas Instruments, analog devices, and a lot of companies, of course, not to forget the Japanese Nippon Electric Company, Sharp, and so on. So I was really purchasing from these companies. And, you know, what we did was that these companies, which is producing something, maybe not so good example, but yeah, if you, whatever you are making today, you need electronic components in it, if it is a washing machine or a mobile telephone or whatever. But these companies, they could buy components from a lot of sources, but it is not so easy if you are a development engineer in such a company. You don't have all information of what really exists. So we have this what we call InDesign engineers. So we came to the customer and he had told about his problem, and we could offer him solutions from different companies, and then, you know, he would choose what he thought was best, or what the price was also the best. Therefore, it became the kind of, we had in the end, we was 450 people when I sold it, and there was 36 design engineers in the Nordic, which was working on this. And in some of the big companies, we had a very good cooperation. So we had the people working inside the company together with the design engineers. And I think that made us able to become the largest distributor for the Nordic. Not only the logistics, but you have everything you need to do it.
A lot of logistics.
Yeah, it's a logistics all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So coming back a little bit to the beginning, you just mentioned you were sourcing the components, getting them to Norway, distributing them in Norway from all the companies you just mentioned. And I mean, those are the big companies globally. What were the special needs to solve this intralogistics topic for you? I mean, you just mentioned you're in the west of Norway. You're in the innovation center of Norway, and trying to solve the problem that you got a lot of components on a however warehouse. So, what was the special need for you to develop something new to solve your problem?
Yeah, it was basically the competition which made it. We had to make money to survive, of course. And because we knew these companies, for example, we knew these companies I mentioned. And because of that, they also have their IT departments. And we had our IT departments on the ERP system. And because of that, we got also a very good connection between the supplier, us, and the customer. We collected the delivery times from the supplier, for example, and we saw when the delivery time was increasing, we increased the backlog for our customer, so he was not been hurted, which could be a surprise for him. So, and therefore we was able to supply when the others was not able to do it.
I think the AutoStore system allowed you to be very fast compared to others, or wasn't it that you already mentioned it is very efficient that made you compare with the costs. And when I first got to know the cube storage system, I thought that's a perfect solution for like the e-commerce business. And what you told about electronic components, it's quite close to e-commerce, I think. If you handle small parts that move very quickly, that change very often, the articles change very often. So the cube storage system has its strength in this kind of goods, I think.
Yeah, and you have also a very large number of part numbers. Also, the problem we had in the component business was that the components was getting smaller. You should think that because they were smaller, they needed less space. But it was the opposite, because when you no longer could pick the components with your hands, you had to mount them on blister tape and different kind of system. And therefore, the volume increased more as the components decreased in size.
And when you got the proof that the AutoStore system was useful and the concept was running, when you look back, what were the most influential moments you think led to the success of AutoStore globally?
Yeah, I think that the part which was most important was, of course, that we choose distributor model. Also, we use distributors to sell the product, because we had no money and no capacity to start departments around the world. So we went to people which was doing this from before. And since we was used to be a distributor, we know very well how the the companies was running us. So, you know, it was not so difficult for us to start it.
Okay, and that made it possible to grow very fast and you can implement a lot of systems.
Yeah, and also because we used a very long time to develop the system, and we didn't let it out in the market until we had taken away most of the, how can you say, failures in the system, which you get. It was a lot of challenges on the development, for sure.
Okay. So last question about hardware, I promise. Do you still follow up where logistics systems are, how they develop, and what is used more often, how logistics people fulfill with the help of automation? Or what do you think comes more important in the future regarding hardware?
Yeah, regarding hardware, of course, I follow a little bit of the logistics, but since now I'm more into the RAM base, even I'm not so in the details myself, but instead is our business now. It is more software than hardware, I think. There was a lot of obstacles when you are a small company trying to enter into the market because, you know, the customer need to have a belief that you will stay in the business. You know, if you are not staying in the business, what will happen then with the warehouse they bought, for example? So there's a lot of such questions. Was very difficult to handle in the beginning of the AutoStore. Of course, this was settled when we sold AutoStore. Then this EQT and later THL and SoftBank, they had the necessary means. There was no discussion anymore that it will become solid. What only thing we could do was to have the quality right. I think that there is still a lot you can do in the logistic concerning talking together, because I think that still what we did back in the 90s, many companies doesn't do today. I think we was together with this car importer in Oslo, Bertel Osten. We was the first starting with automatic custom clearance of all the goods. We started with the ADE for all the invoices and the acknowledgements, and also, as I told you, about delivery information and so on. A lot of these things, yeah, they don't do till today. Yeah, I think there is a lot you can do still, if you call it hardware or not, I don't know, but yeah, you can do still a lot of things. And I see also when you come to the RAM base today, and you, if you talk about AI, for example, you can have the AI to check the invoices you get, compare it with the goods receipt and what you have ordered and so on. But how far do you want the AI to get? Do you want the AI also to pay the invoices? We can maybe easily make a system, but you know, you come to a situation, how mature is the market for these things? So, and that will be an issue you have to think about in the logistics chain. But still, I think if companies could talk more together in the logistics world, it could be improved very much.
So it's more the potential lies in finding out what different parts and different branches and different solutions, how they can be bundled to invent something new, like you did in the AutoStore. So, yeah. Okay. So you already touched RAMBase. It's the ERP system you are still involved in. Who uses your solution and where lies its strength?
Yeah, it has become much of the customer base is a little bit different, because you have the complete ERP system, and that is used very much for in mechanical industry. It is used in the electronic industries and so on. Also, the quality module is quite advanced, and the HMS module is sold separately. And we have quite large customer using it, like Norsk Hydro, Elkem, and so on. And it is used all over the world. But there is a big difference. The ERP system is very, very complex, many times more complex than AutoStore, but it takes almost, it's very, very difficult to sell. And even when you have sold it to a company, you have to get the company to utilize all functions, because Nano system is got very complicated. There is no one in your company which knows the whole system. And that means it's also difficult to get the full potential out of an ERP system. And that, I think, is the same for also our competition. They sell us systems, but they are maybe only utilized 30, 40%, not 100%. When they utilized it 100%, they would have a lot of benefits in the company.
Okay, and why did you not? Why did you write your own ERP system? Why did you not use what the market had to offer?
No, but that was also the historic, you know. That was the reason was that I, as the first person I employed, was Ingvar Hognaland, and he has a lot of good ideas. And the problem was that in the beginning, in the 80s, a computer system was in reality very, very expensive, and a small company couldn't afford it. But when the PCs come, Ingvar had an idea to build multiprocessor system using these small systems, and he did. And we had a computer system which was very good, and then it was more or less natural. So it started there, and we came in 2004. We was already in the sky, as they say, on the internet. And all our competition, they said how stupid it was. So they said how stupid it was in 10 years. And now they are all in the sky. So it has, you see, when you are there and you see the benefits, you don't want to use something else. And it's difficult to give an explanation of it. There's a lot of background you need to know. But during our component distribution, there was some phases. In 90, the distributor said they only wanted to have supplier said, oh, we have to reduce the numbers of distributors. And for example, here in Norway, they say we don't want to have more than, at first they said 3 distributors in Norway. No, they said 3 distributors in the Nordic. Okay, to become one of, when you are young and you want to do something, okay, we had to go out of Norway. If not, we was risking losing the distributors. So we had to become one of the 3. Okay, so, and when you come to 95, they said, okay, this was a very good idea. We want to have only 5 in Europe. Okay, then it was, we saw that we couldn't reach. And also, therefore, we went for an alliance with Sonepar, which we had until we sold the company. So then we had the Nordic, they had the Europe, and Marshall Industries had US. And then they choose also the RAM base. They wanted to, Sonepar choose RAM base because it was the best system for them. And it's a lot of history behind it. So it's not so easy to just say, why did you do it? But it was also, we had the possibility and we did it. And we still mean we can offer a better system than the big guys today.
That's very good. Sounds very intelligent and based. So coming a little bit back to the software, you were just talking about, software is always the base for using AI. You mentioned AI several times. Mm. You also mentioned the example of do we trust AI to pay our bills after receiving and checking them? So what do you think? What can we expect from advanced solutions supported by AI, just like you mentioned? Where is the market or the software heading to?
I think that the AI will help us do a lot of this collaboration in the end. I think it will force us to do it if we don't want to do it. So, but there is a lot of issues with the AI also, political issues and so on. So it, we want to know what we can do, and then we will talk with the customers what they want to have. They want us to implement instead of forcing new things into the customers. I think it is a little bit difficult to say it. We also have an IT security company, and I see there is so many frauds and different kind of situations where also they start to use AI, and the world, sometimes, how can I say this simple? I think you just have to use your senses and see what the time will bring.
So it's a little bit more about, it's not what technically is possible, but it's more about finding the right environment and the right problem, then to invent the solution and not start with the solution.
Yeah, because basically, if AI is functioning 100%, you don't need any software engineers anymore. You can just order them to write the software. But you know, I'm not so sure.
You don't know where it's heading if it writes its own code.
No, really, you don't know. I see. There is a lot you can do with the AI. That's for sure.
Okay. And you mentioned the EMP Secure, another startup you are involved with. Just give us your opinion about the current state of cybersecurity and how it is threatening, perhaps especially logistics, but I think not only logistics, but also other businesses.
It is also getting more and more complex, but you have to do... what we are doing for the customer is the 24/7 surveillance about, you know, suspicious incoming threats and so on. So, and we try to educate the people what they can do and what they should not do and so on. But you get new challenges all the time. You know, now you also have the states behind this. They have enormous resources to do very bad things.
Okay, and you have to be aware of it to deal with it. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so thanks for your opinions about these mainly business questions and logistics questions. Tobias already mentioned that Thilo Jörgel connected us, and we learned from him that besides software and logistics and cybersecurity and other business stuff, you're quite interested and fascinated by fireworks. He told us that you do your own fireworks, and you mentioned it already when you introduced yourself. Is there something in common between founding a company and leading a company and handling black powder and fuses?
No, I think that there are a lot of fireworks in my younger days, but then I've been a little bit too busy to really involved in the but it has helped me, because when you are working with fireworks, the basics of the fireworks, you know that if you do something wrong, you have no fingers or you have no eyes anymore. So you need to focus on what you are doing, and then you can forget all the problems you have. And you get the kind of reset. Someone is doing sports and some, the different ways of doing it. So, but you can disconnect from your daily problems, and it helps a lot. But it is still fun, but I'm not so much involved anymore, I have to confess. Yeah. But I have a company, and we are shooting display fireworks and a lot of such things, yes.
So, coming a little bit to the end of today's talk, we would like to ask you one last question, which we ask every guest in our podcast. And is there any book, any movie, any other media which influenced yourself on the way of growing into the person you become today? Just like a small recommendation for our audience, if there is something. Of course.
I have to confess, I like movies a lot, and I see a lot of movies, and I have read a few books, but I cannot really point on one specific book or movie. You know, you take the inputs you get from different places, and I think the most important thing is that you are open from for ideas from other people. Because if you believe that you always are right, you come nowhere. So you have to be open and try to understand the problem from in different angels.
Okay. So, Jakob, thank you very much for taking time into our podcast. It was very interesting also to get to know about the story of AutoStore, how or what your logistic problem was, what your overall problem was, and how you developed a solution yourself in the west of Norway. And thank you very much for coming here. I really enjoyed it.
I felt I went. Okay.
Yeah, but well,
you can cut a little bit. So yeah,
we won't cut anything. It's great. I think it was a very nice story, a very authentic way you were talking about it, and I really liked it. So yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you too, and have a nice evening.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.